He had to get hurt.
Okay, everybody ready?
Let's roll.
It is 6:03 p.m. on Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. We will call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Varga.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
Weigold.
Here.
Bachelman.
Here.
Adamson.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on June 23rd. Were there any changes or corrections?
I did have a small change.
Okay.
Under Chip Hill's portion of the minutes, it's got a strange designation of trellis, and the plural form of trellises would be E-S.
So T-R-E-L-L.
E-S.
E-S.
Trellis.
The plural form of trellis.
Yeah.
Or trellis. Okay.
Probably did.
Any other changes or corrections? Do I have a motion to approve?
So
second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Ted to approve with the noted change. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up, we'll have the floor for any kind of public comment. No? Okay. We'll go ahead and close public comment, period. Next up, we have a zoning map amendment, and I think I did pass it down. It's ordinance 2026-27, just so you're aware, 2026-27. But before that, Nathan, come on up and explain what we're looking at.
Thank you. Yeah, the hard copy ordinance, I was still drafting when the packets went out, so that's it's a pretty standard draft. Our standard ordinance, the main thing is that the Planning Commission does have some zoning commitments that they attach to this. So dealing with that and how we word that has to be figured out. So what this case is the lot north of Rhodes Enterprises site there on Walnut Street, property at 105 North Walnut Street. It's currently a home. He's looking to rezone this to GB. It's currently zoned R1, rezone it to GB, and use that for expansion of his business northward. One of the zoning commitments that the Planning Commission discussed was the need for having a fence on the west side of the property line. Currently, with the rezoning that was done in 2016 to allow for his current business expansion, the fence was between that lot and this subject lot. So since this is getting rezoned or potentially rezoned, it made sense to move the fence basically to the west side, which would buffer the still remaining homes to the west from the expanded business. So that's it in a nutshell. Comes to you with a favorable recommendation from the Planning Commission. There was some discussion about exactly what the plans would be and so on, which will be sorted out if this is rezoned. Still has to go through development plan approval, potentially variance situation, although that doesn't seem likely, and almost certainly some sort of encroachment through the Board of Works, because there will be some pavement and so on being placed into the right-of-way. So there are going to be additional review opportunities as this may progress forward. So that's the summary. Any questions for me?
Questions of Nathan. You said this passed with a unanimous approval minus one member being gone, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
I did have one. So I know that you highlighted the side yard setback shall be no less than 10 feet, but I think we had two versions and that was altered. Is there like a different request, or is that because it's going to be paved? Or?
So the staff report that is marked up, which is this one, is reflective of the modified zoning commitments. So in 2016, when Rhodes Enterprises came through with the rezoning for the lot they're on now, there were zoning commitments attached, which were those three. With this, because a couple of those commitments were specific to the lot that is now being in question, they're no longer needed. So the 10-foot side yard setback is struck off entirely. zoning minimum is 10 feet, so it was basically a duplication of what the code already required. And then, as I mentioned, the fence requirement got shifted, and then no outside storage of materials rather than specifically recyclable materials.
Got it.
So those are the modifications being done to the 2016 commitments that will be applied to both properties in the end.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions of Nathan? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hold on 1 second. Are you ready? Okay. Do I have a motion to read ordinance 2026-27 by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Brent. Further discussion? All those in favor of the usual sign, it is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2026-27 by title only.
Ordinance 2026-27, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the R1 single family residential district to the GB general business district.
Thoughts and opinions on the rezoning?
Motion to approve.
I'm in favor of it.
Okay, is that a second?
Second.
Okay. I have a motion by Ryan and a second by Tad to approve ordinance 2026-27 on first reading. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at the next meeting. Okay, next up we're going to get into amphitheater territory here. But first I want to introduce Lisa Lee from Ice Miller to talk a little bit about the process and why she's here and kind of lead us through where we've been and where we're going. So. There's the setup, the wind-up.
Thank you, Mayor, very much. Lisa Lee with Ice Miller, serving as bond counsel to the City of Columbia City on the amphitheater project. The city's been going through what we call the BOT, build, operate, transfer process in order to determine the engineer and the construction and the guaranteed maximum price for the project. That's the procurement side. We're talking about the financing side. How are we going to pay for that? Where we have been so far, at your May 26th meeting, the council authorized circulation of a supporting taxpayer petition, which is required by the statute, for we go out and we get signatures for taxpayers who support the project. We have to get at least 50. They have to then be certified by the county auditor. All that has been accomplished. At your June 23rd meeting, you received that certified taxpayer petition. You also adopted a resolution of need, and you preliminarily approved the lease agreement. So the lease agreement is the document between the Columbia City Building Corporation, which is a brand new corporation that was just formed. Marcia is the incorporator. The mayor determines who's on it. They are incorporated simply to be the issuer of the bonds, and they lease the project to the city. If you're familiar at all with school corporation and their kind of debt and their projects, they're always using building corporations as a leasing entity. We have to do this as a lease instead of a straightforward bond issue just for the size of it. So what we are here today is we will be looking for, number one, we'll have a public hearing. And we did provide notice of that public hearing at least 10 days ago. And so we will have a public hearing, and then we will ask you to consider adoption of resolution number 2026-25, which authorizes, it approves the final lease agreement that we have here, and it authorizes execution of that. Following that, we will be coming back to you, if you approve that action, we'll be coming back to you at your August meeting with more of the actual bond financing numbers. So at that time, we should be much, much closer to the guaranteed maximum price. We do not want to sell bonds until we know exactly what you need to construct it, so we're not selling more than you need. So we will wait until after that guaranteed maximum price is determined, and if that is okay with this council, then we move forward towards a bond sale, sell the bonds, close, And that closing is when funds are actually deposited with your bank here in Columbia City, and you can give notice to proceed, and you could start paying invoices and things like that on the construction of the project. So that's where we are right now. If I can sit down and you can open a public hearing, once that's closed, I can come back and go through the lease more, a little bit more of the financial side of it, if that works for everyone. Okay.
Is that okay with everyone? Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, so we will recess the Common Council meeting and open the floor to the public hearing regarding the lease and certainly the amphitheater, if anybody wants to say anything. Anybody? Comments? Thoughts? No? Okay, seeing no comments, we will close the public hearing and restart the council meeting. Lisa, come on back up. I do want you to, and I know you're going to do this anyway, so I'm just reiterating, but
okay.
If you can talk a little bit about the reason why the City Hall and the MSF and why that's a part of this structure, if you
yes.
could do that, that would be really, I think that would be helpful for the council to understand.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm going to put a little bit of my Baker Tilly Municipal Advisor hat on for you, because they are not here this evening. The lease agreement... The reason that the lease is not considered debt is because the court considers it an operating cost, because you can only pay for something if you are actually using it. So when during construction, normally you would have to borrow that interest amount, because you've got a bond purchaser who's going to purchase the bonds and they're going to close on X date. 6 months later, that bondholder wants to be paid interest. Okay, and so every 6 months thereafter. However, under this financing structure, because the amphitheater would not be ready yet, the construction would not be completed, you can't legally make a lease payment. So what you would have to do is you would have to borrow those funds, and actually I do have Baker Tilly's numbers here. If we lease other city assets during construction, we don't have to borrow that money. Okay, that's called capitalized interest, because you borrow it, you put it on top of the par amount of the bonds, so you're paying interest on interest at that point. So we wanted to avoid that. So you had two assets that were not encumbered at all, and so we are leasing during construction only. They will be released, and I can show you in the lease agreement that language. They will be released as soon as the amphitheater is constructed and complete. But that is this City Hall, and it is your municipal facilities building. The total debt service difference between having capitalized interest and not having capitalized interest is $820,000. Okay, so by leasing these two assets just during the construction period, 12 to 18 months, we can save that kind of money, and we don't have to borrow it in the financing itself. Okay?
Does that make sense? Like, just in case you get questions of why we're leasing City Hall and the MSF, it's to try to save $800,000.
We're right. leasing it to ourselves.
Yes, you are.
We're leasing it to the building corporation.
What you do, you do have to convey it to the building corp,
yes.
so that they can lease it back to you. But that's why in the lease agreement itself and in the trust indenture, which is a different document, it says we will release those two assets upon completion of the amphitheater. So they'll only be there during construction. And the amphitheater itself, while it will be technically owned by the building corporation while the bonds are outstanding, they only can convey it, and they are required to convey it to you when those bonds are paid off. They do not have the option to sell it or do anything else with it. It is a city asset. They have to hold it for lease financing structuring purposes. But that's why we're leasing those two assets during construction. So what we're looking at in the lease agreement itself are lease rental payments during construction of somewhere around $320,000 a year, so $160,000 semi-annually. And then the full lease rental payments upon completion of the amphitheater, we're anticipating somewhere around $630,000 to $634,000 annually. So break that out semi-annually. And We are paying these from general revenues of the city. My understanding is they're looking to use food and beverage funds, but the reality is during, if we do a general revenue pledge, what that means is during your budget process each year, you can determine what funds you have and you don't need to use in something else. If you needed to use food and beverage somewhere else, what other revenues could you use for this? So you will have that flexibility at every budget session.
And I'll also add in, so right now, and again, we've been talking about the amphitheater, but again, I've tried really hard not to throw out hard numbers yet because we don't have the final numbers yet, right? But last number, Chip, you can correct me, but somewhere around $6 million. And keep in mind that the numbers that Lisa's talking about is with zero sponsorship, zero grant dollars, so this is the top, okay?
Yes.
So I want you to know that we are working really hard to bring that number down pretty significantly, okay? So my hope is that when we come to you in roughly a month, that we'll have a package of some sort to be able to say, here's where we were, here's where we are, the numbers that are on this list are the top end and are not what we're actually going to be paying. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, we do have to approve maximum numbers.
Yes, maximum numbers.
So to reiterate, the food and beverage tax only goes to the bar.
Only goes to Eagle Park. Can only go to Eagle Park, number one, and has to be used for the construction of Eagle Park. Cannot be used for staffing or maintenance or anything like that. It goes to the construction of Eagle Park.
That's
this is the intent of the food and beverage
tax.
It's a user fee is what it is, essentially.
The food and beverage tax?
It's not tax, it's a user fee.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's 1 cent on the dollar.
People who
right?
eat it,
so,
yeah,
you
exactly.
Yeah, it's not.
Yep.
Right.
And
yes.
If you go to Fort Wayne, you pay their food and beverage, you go to Shipshamore, you pay their food and beverage, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. I appreciate that. Thank you. That's good public information.
Yes, and there was something else I was going to tell you. Let's see here. I think that is the action with respect to the lease agreement. We're asking you to approve the execution of it. We will then, if you do that, we will provide notice of the execution. That starts a 30-day objecting period. So we're just looking to get that period started. We recognize that you still have, you can still put on the brakes at any point until the bonds are actually sold. So you will have another opportunity in August. As the mayor said, we anticipate having by then the guaranteed maximum price. So then all the numbers will be based on the guaranteed maximum price. And then what happens is if we get to the sale of the bonds, even though you approve some maximum lease rentals in here that we kind of mentioned, once the bonds are sold, then we have to actually match the debt service on the bonds to the lease rentals. So we will lower those lease rentals to match what is actually paid. So right now, the interest rates they're looking at might be basing these numbers on a maximum of 6% or something. Again, I'm not the municipal advisor. I apologize. But if the bonds sell at something more like a 4%, or 3.5% or something like that, we have to true up those lease rental payments to come down to match the debt service payment. So you are not paying extra every 6 months, okay? You only pay what's required to pay the debt service and pay the trustee on an annual basis. So that action that is on the agenda, I think, as number 6, to consider resolution 2026-25. And then just while I'm up here, you have an ordinance that we're only asking for introduction this evening. It's ordinance 2026-26. This is the pledge ordinance. So this is the ordinance that says you will pledge any legally available revenues, and to the extent those revenues are not available, you would put on a property tax if you had to. Baker Tilly, as your municipal advisor, has to show us, as your bond counsel, that they fully expect that you have at least 125, if not more, usually it's much more than that, percent coverage of the revenues that you want to use, that you have identified as wanting to use, that you have coverage of the debt service so that it's reasonable to conclude that you would never levy that property tax to pay that debt. That's so that I can then give the opinion that this is not a controlled project, not subject to petition, remonstrance, or referendum. Okay? So they have given me that assurance that you have the coverage levels. And I would expect maybe at the next meeting they can come and show you those revenues and what the coverages are before asking you to approve the bond issue itself.
I do think they're planning to be here, if not the next meeting,
yeah.
GMP meeting or one of those things.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure it's really clear because I think Lisa said it, I think, really well. But I am not going, and I'm sure you will not either, vote for a project that will raise taxes.
Right.
Just to be real clear, crystal clear
right.
with the public, I will not support a project that's going to raise taxes for an entity.
But you do want the best interest rates you can get.
Yes.
And if you only pledge general any legally available revenues, the bond purchaser pool looking at those is much smaller and the interest rates are higher because if you don't have enough general revenues, you're not paying their bonds off,
yeah.
right? And so the property tax backup is exactly that. It is a backup so that a bond purchaser will give you the best interest rate that they can.
So that's just a guarantee, essentially?
Yes.
It's a backup guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So so this will be sold by a competitive sale. I believe they are going to go for a rating. So there'll be official statements, offering documents. So it will go out to the entire country of potential investors to try to get the best possible interest rates you can get. It will not just be in Indiana.
If I were the council or a general citizen, I would be asking, why are we doing this all before we have a GMP? Can you explain why it's important to do these things ahead?
It's a long process. The lease financing process from beginning to end, I mean, I just said you at your May meeting, you took some actions at that meeting, and we're still going to your August meeting. So a traditional bond issue can be done in like 60 days. A lease financing is closer to 6 months. And when you do get the guaranteed maximum price and you execute the BOT agreement, they will want to start construction as quickly as possible. And you want that as well because you don't want to have another 6 months of interim lease rental payments.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get it completed, done, release the city hall and the municipal building and get on with just financing the amphitheater itself. So we want to be ready and prepared so that when you have the GMP, if it's acceptable to you, you approve the bond issue, we go sell the bonds and we get it closed and you have money to start constructing. So we just are trying to not slow down the BOT side of it. We want to be ready. So.
Questions of Lisa?
This is really more of a statement, but I appreciate the proposed timetable for all of this, that you can see just how comprehensive all of these steps are
yes.
in this process.
And that is all Lisa.
So can we approve these together, or are we approving
them? Got to approve them one at a time. But
yeah, and again, the ordinance, we only want introduction. We're not asking.
When you say that, you're not asking.
Pass
for
on first reading. Just pass on first. However you
yes.
do
okay.
it.
Because we usually do two readings for full passage, but we do one reading, approve.
We're not asking for adoption this
okay,
evening.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so we'll wait for a second reading on
okay.
that. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have a motion to read resolution number 2026-25 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brent, seconded by Jennifer.
Whatever.
Sorry. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read resolution number 2026-25 by title only.
Resolution 2026-25, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Columbia City approving execution of lease.
I've had a chance to talk to Lisa about it, but any other thoughts, questions, things you want to put on the table? Hearing none, could I have a motion to approve resolution 2026-25?
Second.
Motion by Brent, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is, we'll get there. Page. Nope. Hold on. There we go. I think it's page number 54 of your packet. Do I have a motion to read ordinance 2026-26 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance 2026-26 by title only.
Ordinance 2026-26, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, pledging general revenues to lease rental bonds of the Columbia City Building Corporation.
Any questions, thoughts, concerns about that? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2026-26 on first reading?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Dan. I'll give Ryan the second because he had his finger up most of the time there. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you, Council. Appreciate that. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa and or Chip, I think we're looking at the second meeting in August as being the, I think it's on the timeline there, but.
The later meeting.
It's the second meeting in August, I think, is when we're planning to have the GMP.
August 25th.
Yep. Yep. So that's the second meeting at the second day of August, just to be clear. So. Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else for Lisa while she's here? Thank you, Lisa. Lisa, how long have you been working with the City of Columbia City as bond counsel?
Oh, 25 years.
I was going to say, long time. And I appreciate the partnership that you and Heismiller have had with the city.
Thank you. Appreciate that as well.
Okay. With that, we'll go to department head reports. Nathan, you want to report?
Nothing major. The subdivision north of Walmart is going through tech review, so hopefully it will actually be under construction by the fall. So that's hopefully going to bring some residential lots to the city.
Question to Nathan. Thank you. Terry.
We had five cameras down at Eagle Park. We got two of them back up and are waiting on some equipment to come in to repair the rest of them. I got all the equipment out of the whole jail except for the one server rack. I still need to get into my department. We'll have everything that needs out of there for future projects.
Question to Terry. Thank you. Chip.
I want to thank the electric department. We had an issue with their stump grinder that we bought a couple years ago, and they bought a new one, and we did not get a lot of stumps ground last year. I think we're down to like maybe two or three stump grindings. So thank you, Sean and Jason Branning. Nathan said been working on that parcel of land. NDOT is kind of throwing up little roadblocks. We want to tie Armstrong into 109. They haven't gave the full word. It's a lot of haggling right now. We are working with Lisa Lee on tipping that and getting that ready, as Nathan said. Also working with Musselman and Eagle Landing. We had a little snag on where the road, we were told where the road was coming. Roads kind of changed. So we are negotiating that. And they've asked for tip on that, and they've asked for the moon and back. We're negotiating on that. Also been working a ton. That was also with Lisa Lee. Also working a ton with Lisa Lee on the amphitheater. All that, getting bonding, GMPs, appraisals. Been doing some weed spraying around town, trying to get everything ready for July 29th. We've been working in Oak Alley, taking down the old trellises. I threw that in there again, so it's... we're about done with those. We ordered some beautiful life-size artificial trees, and as of right now, they're on a boat somewhere in the Pacific, and it's not where we want them to be. So recently, other thing, Janice Daniels, we worked through, kind of nervous of pickleball. We haven't had any issues of noise from the pickleball yet, but we're trying to combat that before. So we planted some different plants at the pickleball court. So those are, hopefully we'll make it through this heat. And kind of a weird moment, a local community reached out and wants to shadow me for a morning.
A what?
Shadow me. They don't have community development. They want to see how.
Oh, they want to shadow you.
Shadow me.
Oh
yes. So.
Of all the places to choose.
Exactly. This haphazard is like working, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah. Other than that, it's just a lot of getting ready for the end of July. So,
Can you video this?
It is.
At first I thought he was talking about some kind of like a shadow puppet, yeah. Shadow something.
Oh, I've got one to follow.
I thought it was like some shade that they were going through a mourning process.
Oh, shade.
I wouldn't have commendo tenor.
Any questions, Jeff? Thank you. We're going to keep this moving. Kelly.
Yeah, we had limb pickup last week, or Monday for, last Monday and Tuesday. It took 2 days to finish that. Wanted to shout out to Jason Wells, came in and helped with the time capsule, get that flipped over.
He helped carry it over to the thing, and he had a flathead screwdriver that allowed us to pry it open, and he was a lifesaver that day. Yeah. He really was.
And then we've just been busy with 50-50 sidewalks. Brett Bockelman kind of started a movement over in his area. Both the neighbors on each side of him decided they wanted to.
Oh, really? Lucky you, trendsetter.
I know.
Yeah. So we've been busy working on that.
Yep. Question to Kelly.
I want to thank him. Yeah. Their crew did a phenomenal job of doing that. Can't thank them enough for doing what they did and how they did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks phenomenal. So thank you.
Great. That's great. Congratulations.
Tom.
The new engine is in Indiana. It's a Hoosier Fire getting striped, and the equipment that the dealer is responsible for getting that put on. 107 is in Indianapolis getting those repairs I've been talking about for the last month and a half, 2 months. Finally getting that done. We're prepping and getting ready for 4-H fair. Pre-plans are ongoing and doing well. And I can't scroll down on this thing that the mayor makes us submit reports to him with, so I'm done.
Well, maybe Shoda can help you with it. Question to Tom. Thank you. Shoda.
Last Thursday we had an IDEM inspection. Really went well. Considering, our last one. This one, one of the things they said, we had to letter and number our well houses, which is very easy. The other one is the fuel tank that we had for the old diesel pump had to be moved. We use that tank for lawnmowers, and that's we're just going to move it up by the barn. Mm. But there was the diesel motor still in the building, and they were telling us, she didn't write it down that we had to take it out, but the guy from Indianapolis, I got a hold of him yesterday and said, hey, we're going to tear the building down. The building was built around us. We cannot, it won't come out. And he said, take the batteries out, drain the oil, antifreeze.
Decommission it.
We're out.
Okay.
And then
that's good.
We had a barbed wire fence on the south tower that was damaged that we had to repair. They recommended, and this is for Sally, that we get a filling station. I mean, there's other communities around for people purchasing water, because then we can guarantee. Oh. We can guarantee.
A water bottle filling station.
Yeah. But it's not for water bottles. It's for cans.
Like a water filling station.
But then we can guarantee that they have air gaps and stuff like that, so nothing they have in their tank will contaminate our water.
Why somebody got to do it?
Then it comes back over to here.
I have been trying to research this for years.
Yeah, Sally's been doing it, And me and both of us have, haven't we? But Decatur's got one. I think Auburn's is getting one. And so they're trying to push that. And then they also recommended that we have a cross-connection ordinance. And they made a recommendation that we need to put some action if they don't do what they're supposed to do, that we can fine them or whatever to kind of force them to it.
We have, okay. When you say cross connection, does my immediate thought goes to we have a backflow?
It's all one thing.
Okay.
Cross connection, backflow. Where it, the cross, the backflow, they.
Sally needs you.
They have to be tested every year. So our program that we've got now is every month we can tell who has to redo theirs.
Yeah.
We send them letters, but we can't guarantee they're going to do it. And she said we need to put teeth in it so that, you know, they're more likely to get it done. So
okay.
That was the only things that we had wrong, and none of them had anything to do with quality, water quality.
Good. Question to Mike. Thank you. Mike.
I got notice that Skater Project, the last phase of that, should start up the end of this month or first of next month. Are setting the new panels and getting the sites ready. We completed our sampling, our 30-day period. The samplers were sent back today. We're still waiting our first round of results. So hopefully it shows us something. If not, then we're going to run a round of samples on the influence of the treatment plant. There's a few things there, places that are not caught by the places or the sampling points that we had. So we may set up something there if we don't catch anything from the system. So.
Good. Question to Mike. Thank you. Sean.
So we've been working at the alley behind the old Walgreens. There's an overhead line, three-phase line that goes through there. Four of the seven poles failed inspection, so we replaced all seven. Reconductored, built overhead banks. It really cleaned the area up, made it look a lot better. But we have no information of anybody going in the Walmart or the Walgreens building, but we're just doing it because there's less load right there with them not being active. So it looks really nice if you're into that kind of thing. You're weird like me. That's kind of neat to see. Drive back here and check out how they cleaned that up really well. Again, Jason Brandy's been doing the stump grinding for Chip. Doing a great job. The new grinder works really well, so really happy with that. So we have that done here in the next week or so. The fuel pumps were effectively removed from the maintenance facility finally. Backstory, a few months ago, well, for years I've known we've had issues, but they kept claiming it was in the pump itself. We started getting water in our fuel about 3 months ago. I immediately ordered the evacuation of the tanks. We sucked all the fuel, everything out, cleared it out. 3 months later, they finally get in to remove those tanks. They have 2,500 gallons of water in the fuel, the gasoline tank. So it's a good thing we did what we did when we did it. But that being said, test went back to IDEM. They found a mild amount of contamination in the soil, so we have to do some remediation on that. Nothing major right now. So and we feel like it wouldn't even have thrown a flag if it wasn't so close to the river. The levels are so low. So working with them on that. We're working on waiver process and some things. We have options. So I'll let you guys know when we finally come up with a final solution on that. Started working on some electrical engineering on some overhead lines by the aquatics facility. Clean that area up. Maybe prepare the area in case we do spend a lot of money on an amphitheater. We'll be ready for that. So we're working on that. We did set the transformer, the underground three-phase transformer for the CTE building for the new high school building today. So that's getting closer to getting terminated and hooked up. Hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll have that up and going. So it'll be nice for them. And then our north substation, when we had that tested this year, we had a new company do the testing. They ran the oil that was in our transformer and our load tap changer through some testing. Came back with some gases in it that suggests that there's some arcing going on. So they're suggesting an oil change for the transformer and the load tap changer unit. Got prices back on that. It's $106,000 to change the oil in one of those. So I sent some other options back to our engineers there, and they're going to mull those over. But eventually we'll have to do something with that. So I'll keep you informed. Other than that,
day-to-day
operations.
Question, Sean. Thank you. Gary.
All right. Officer Didion, Officer Blocker are in their third phase of FTO. Doing very well. By the end of August, they should be releasing them on their own. They've already been through the academy, so be good to go. Officer Myers, if you remember, he was the lateral from Marion. He has been released from FTO on his own now, so he's in the academy and good to go. Stars and Stripes and Fireworks went well. Matt stopped in my office one day and told me that he had multiple compliments. measurements of how well we got traffic out of the park. I would say by like 11:07, the park was busy. So
good.
It worked out well, decent. And he said they had a big turnout too, so he says, typical year. So,
yeah.
And I thought it was like, man, we're done already?
Yeah.
We set up some electronic signs and everything to help people understand US 30 left lane. Downtown.
But you didn't let him go straight across. It was in the right.
I let him go straight across.
Oh, you did?
I just kind of stood over and just kept him coming.
Gotcha. Okay.
I did have like two people. I wanted to go that way. I said, well, you're in the wrong lane. Keep going.
Yeah.
Down, turn around.
I know where you're at.
Turn around.
Gotcha.
So it went out. Got out good. So everything worked out well there. Like Tom said, we are in the planning stages for the 4-H. And we also have the wheels of Whitley County.
August 1st.
So that's coming up. But yeah, got things going now. Kudos to Detective Crabtree. He did a great job with the wet lab training right in this room.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who don't know what the wet lab training is, it's we have people come in and we go through like a classroom portion, and then we let people drink and get a little tipsy, and then we do SFSTs and train our officers and then have them do like testing or stuff. You think they would fail, and you think they'd pass. And then we'd PBT them and do all that stuff. So it was kind of a fun training for everybody. And everybody got home safe.
Yep.
And signed waivers once we got home. And then
mm-hmm.
stayed home. So
yep.
He did a great job with that. So kudos to him. Dispatch is doing good.
Good.
The report there.
Questions, Gary? Thank you. Marcia?
Nothing.
Sally?
Nothing.
A couple of things. Leslie sends her regards. She is at ILMCT, which is the Indiana League of Municipal Clerks and Treasurers. I saw her yesterday. I got to give a small little welcome at their lunch yesterday, and we talked about a couple of different things that her and I are both working on as well. But a couple other municipal things we're still working on from an AIM perspective, still working on LIT. Still working on the MUST meetings. If you've not attended one of those, probably the next one may be a good one to attend, because we're going to really start getting into the meat of the different lit rates and how that's going to be structured and things like that. So I think that'll be our second official, but the third MUST meeting that they've had. None of us are a voting member. Leslie is the only voting member by state statute on that committee, but they had a really good first real conversation, which was great. Let's see what else. Yes, everything 4th of July 250 went wonderful. Thanks to Jennifer for her work as with the county historian and opening up the box that was fairly damp, but she was very gentle about taking those documents out, trying to show them around. I've gotten 1,000 questions about when people are going to be able to see the materials, and I keep saying it's going to be months, because it has to dry out. And you can probably comment more on that. But in any case, we did have employee appreciation luncheon last week. Had a great turnout. I don't know if it was the most we've had, but it was a lot of people. So it may have been the most we had. So in any case, I attended former Mayor Suzanne Hanshew's funeral up in Kendallville last week as well. And we just send our best wishes and thoughts and prayers with her family in the city of Kendallville. And then we've just had a lot of things going on. Amphitheater's taking up a lot of space, but we also have the two different TIF districts that the RDC's working on, and we're working with Lisa Lee, and we just got a lot of projects that we're working on that I think just shows that people want to be here.
Jail.
The jail is, well, I don't know. I don't know if you guys.
Sorry, so. I didn't.
Sorry, so. I'm not going to say anything about the jail. So, but in any case, we are working on property tax things from an AIM perspective. And next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I will be at the Indiana Conference of Mayors. I think that's all I have for right now. Kudos to all of our departments. They've been working through this heat, doing a great job. Really, really happy. No news is good news. So, Dan.
Nothing.
Jennifer.
I have several things. First of all, I wanted to talk about a project that the Arts Commission is working on right now. Last summer, we were given 6 of these giant 4-foot by 6-foot double-sided art display pieces. I don't know
Okay.
Really know what else to call them, but they were jointly given to the Historical Museum and the Arts Commission, and we are going to be fixing those between now and the end of the month to use during Art at the Museum this year, which is August 1st to October 30th. So that's a big project underway. Obviously, we have to have it done between now and August 1st, so
yes.
I will be doing that. But basically, what we're doing is installing some big adjustable hanging systems on the outsides of these things so that we can be a little more creative in our display.
Okay.
That said, once that exhibit's done, if we want to do any kind of art exhibits over here, we can move some of those pieces over here to use them. I wanted to thank the street department for helping out with the time capsule situation.
Yes.
I'm sure you saw the absolute panic on my face when you said, "Are you ready to open it?" And I was like, "I have no idea how." I was like,
I don't know that anybody really knew. I called up Brownie for a moment. He's like, "I don't remember how we did this." So, okay, well, let's get a screwdriver. Let's see if we can get into this thing.
Yeah, so we're cranking that thing around. What I did want to mention, though, for the sake of the community who's really curious about it, those items are now at the museum. They're going through our accession process, which every single item that's in that box will eventually be taken out, numbered. It'll be encapsulated so that every piece is taken care of. The tricky part of that is in all the time that we spent planning opening day, we didn't really know what we were dealing with until we opened that box. Things in about the top third of the box were very nice and dry-ish.
Ish.
And could be picked up. The further we moved down in the box, and I think you could see probably a bit of panic on my face, but things were sort of sticking together, and there was lots of mold, lots of condensation had built up in there over the years, and so things at the bottom kind of mush. So for the sake of being gentle with all those items and also for the sake of other things that are in the museum's collection, we have to be very careful how we handle those. So there's going to be a period of time where we are just drying things out. Right now it's kind of segregated from other things so that we can get to the point where eventually we're able to kind of, in a way, conduct an archaeological dig where we're carefully moving
piece
the layers.
By piece.
And because things were just disintegrating the further that we got down here. So we anticipate that there are some very interesting things in there. I'm super excited personally to take a look at what the letter says from the county historian of the time frame and read that. That's sealed. There's lots of other sealed letters that are in there. Once we get all of this stuff to the point where it is viewable and that sort of thing, then we're going to put together a display, and we've been kind of brainstorming how we want to do that. There's a lot of stuff in there, so it could be a very large display.
Yes.
We might also utilize the case that's out here and put some things in there so that people can have a chance to see some of what's in there. Because it's very interesting, and it's community history, so kind of exciting, and it was a neat opportunity that we've been talking about for a really long time. Moving on, I did want to, if Leslie was here, thank her for the stellar job that she did with the picnic last week.
Yes, she did.
Really well done, really well attended, and she did an incredible job of organizing all of it.
Yes.
It looked like it was professionally catered.
She did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Thanks also to her staff for pitching in and helping with that. And then I did want to mention that volunteers are needed to help repair the sidewalk over by Oki Alley. If anybody wants to come in, you don't really need to have a whole lot of art skill. It's just going to be kind of like...
full tedious.
It's tedious.
Yes.
But we need to get that done by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Or sooner.
Get it re-energized.
Yeah. Yes. It's going to be sort of like... paint by number, so if you have some spare time and want to help out with it, we don't have to start from square one, fortunately, but there's definitely some parts of it that have kind of gotten eaten away over the past, I think, 2 years that's been on the ground. We learned a lot through that project and are probably not going to do that kind of mural again,
so pretty.
It was.
So pretty. It really, really was.
Kind of realistic looking.
Yeah, very much so.
So the original artist that did that, Doug Egoff, will be kind of overseeing the process of trying to clean it up and fix it to the best of our ability. And again, we have to do that by the end of the month. So if anybody wants to help out with that, just contact me, and we will definitely make sure that there's a part of it.
A brush and some paint for
yes.
you. Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
I will mention, appreciate you leading the Municipal Patriotic Decorating Contest. Is it Beanhoff?
Yes.
Beanhoff family at 410 East Van Buren Street was the grand prize winner, if you will. Amazing. It does look like it's
it
right out
like
of a magazine.
Right out
it's
of
really,
a magazine.
Really cool. And then also Biggs family, Beitzel family, and Schaefer family also won awards for that. So congratulations to those of you. We did post it on social media as well. But so great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Tad.
Well, redevelopment, I mean, Chip already talked about everything with the mayor. So we didn't have a lot of updates, but the jail, we now have three different firms who are interested in working with us and talking through what the future of the old jail could look like. So moving forward on that, we did get a couple of appraisals for the old Smith Brothers property. So we're working on that. And then the two TIF districts, one north of Walmart and the one out past Kroger for another apartment complex. Chip's been working diligently on those things, and we approved a facade grant for downtown. So that's about it.
Thank you. Brent?
Nothing.
Ryan? Anything from the audience? No? At least I didn't give you a chance to board. Do you want to say anything?
I have nothing.
Okay. Then with that, we will call the meeting adjourned. CIP committee is next.